Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Thank you, God. He's worthy to be praised. We're grateful that each one of you is here today and able to witness what is now to come. God, in his own powerful way, has allowed us to have the experience, the opportunity to witness a saint declaring loyalty to the Lord, saying, Lord, here I am. Use me in your service. And so we're asking those who are physically able, we're going to ask if you would stand for us as we're going to receive the one who's going to break the bread of life for the first time, or maybe the second for us, but for the first time in the sanctuary here at the church. Will you help me receive our own Reverend Mariama Smith? Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hand clap of praise as she comes forward in her own way. Take your time. God bless you.
Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul.
Oh, my.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul.
And all that is in me.
All that is
all in that's within me, God. Oh, I just want to bless your holy and righteous name. Lord, we come right now and I ask you, God, have your way, God. Move as you will, God. Oh, stand up in me, God. Set me aside in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. I thank you for my Savior, God, but I want to step back and allow you to just speak through me, God. For my God has a word. He has encouragement. He has a word for us. Oh, I count it done in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Amen.
This is not about me.
All right.
That's what my father has kept telling me over and over again. I will take a moment to say thank you before we get to the word, so just please be seated.
Amen. Amen.
We can't praise God enough.
Amen.
I can't thank God enough.
Yes.
Not only for his love and for his faithfulness, but for the blessings that he's just bestowed upon me and for his holy and righteous providence that he saw fit for me to serve him. So I thank and I praise God. I would be remiss if I did not call my mother's name and my father's name in this moment. Walter James Kirkland and Myrtle Gonza Glasgow. I thank God for them that they got me to this point. I thank God for them. My pastor, hallelujah, praise God. He is not patient. He just pushing, you know, pushing you straight out the door. But I thank God for him because I know the timing is perfect. I thank you, Pastor Pickens. I thank you.
Amen.
For the ministers on the roster,
amen.
I thank God for you. Each of you has pushed me in a special and mighty way, and I just thank God for using you to push me. Thank you. Thank you. For my church family, I've told some of you more than anything, I've wanted family most of my life. And I just thank God for you. For those of you that have taken me under your wings, I thank God for you. You know who you are. This ain't about us. This ain't about me. So we're not getting into names and going through all that. And lastly, but not least, I thank God for my husband. It's been a tough week. We had power. We had everything we needed, but I've been a time. This week, I've been a time, but it's not about me. So I thank him. And you know, we're asked to give our loved ones their flowers while we're on this side. I would not have imagined how tough this space is. And he hasn't told me how hard it is on him, but I know it's rough for him also. So I just thank you. I thank you, love, for standing beside and with me in the name of Jesus. Thank you. All right, let's get to work. We're turning Our focus scripture is Psalms 91. You may stand to honor God and his word. I am using the King James Version. Y'all work with me. It's the first time I'm doing this in the sanctuary. Amen. So just be patient with me. Okay? Lord, I thank you. We are reading the 91st Psalm. We are reading verses 2, 3, and 4. The 91st Psalm. And we may use some more of it here and there. I'm definitely going to refer to the first verse, and then I'm going to refer, I think, to the last three verses. But let's start with verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Amen. Amen. For those of you that have heard me speak before, you know I love words and I get into definitions, so we're going to do that too. Please be seated. Amen. Amen. Our points. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. Our second point, he shall deliver me. You too, if you choose him. And number 3, his truth is my shield and my buckler. This world that we're living in, my God, is a place of chaos, of recklessness, of sin. Plainly stated, this world is not a safe place. But this is our temporary home. We won't be here forever. But while we're on this side, you have to have a fortress to retreat into. It's not about when the storms will come. What we need to recognize is the nature of this world, the nature of this universe. This world where the enemy of God is literally hunting for those who serve God, for those who live by his word, who imprint his word upon their hearts. He is hunting us. The word of God tells us that Satan is going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it, seeking whom he may devour. Our focus scripture tells us, it begins with, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him will I trust. There's so much there. Refuge, fortress, my God. The speaker is declaring, my God. The biblical and theological scholars tell us that this psalm was from Moses. And we know that David compiled it in the Old Testament book of Psalms. Moses, the man God used to free his people, the children of Israel, from bondage in Egypt. Moses, the man God used to lead his people out of Egypt, parting the Red Sea, guiding them through the mountains toward the promised land, the man that God appeared to in a burning bush, whom he delivered, who he delivered the law to, the Ten Commandments, who got to get closest to God's presence that any of us will ever come to, that man, Moses. I can just imagine Moses with his stutter, shouting and reciting, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I can just imagine in the midst of the chaos and just plain old human fear, using those words to steady himself and to teach others, God's children, Christ's church, that's who we are, his children. I first came into contact with this scripture when my mother had had a massive stroke back in 2001. And my mother, who had never asked me to read her scripture, had asked me to read scriptures and recite scripture and memorize scripture, but had never asked me to read her scripture, instructed me to sit by her bedside while she was hooked up to tubes and read her over and over the 91st Psalm. And it just imprinted it upon my heart. Refuge. Refuge. He is my refuge.
Yeah.
He is my fortress.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling through my definitions, y'all. He is my fortress. He's my God.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 All right.
Refuge defined.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
A condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit,
all right,
from danger, or trouble.
Yeah.
A shelter or protection from danger. A shelter from trouble. A place where one can go and receive aid, relief, or escape. Listen, what blows my mind about this word, and I'm sorry for the nerd moment, but its origin. When you look at the Latin makeup of the word refuge, it started with the word, the Latin word re, which means to back, go back. And it's the second word, fugere, which means shelter, refuge, okay? So refuge is not talking about moving forward and seeking a place of safety. It's talking about going back.
Yeah.
Moving back into your fortress.
Come on. Yeah,
into
yeah,
your God who is able.
Right.
You know, man says turn and run.
Yeah.
But I reject that.
Come on.
I'm going back up.
Amen.
I'm not going to take my eyes off of what's before me,
yeah,
but I'm just going back up into my fortress.
Yeah.
I'm just going back up. I don't have to fight. I don't need anything else. He's my God. He's my refuge. And I can just back up. Not into a place that you don't know, but from where you came from. Okay? You can just back up. Some of us haven't gotten past our mothers. So when you think you're backing up to home, that's really God, because who blessed her with the ability to care for you? Who blessed him, your father, with the ability to meet your every need? Our parents are not magic. They are not perfect. But somehow, when we're under their covering, they can meet every need. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you where it comes from. So you can just back up where you came from. Okay? Just back up. Did you know that Satan is adversity? His name literally means adversity. He has beef, not with us. He's mad. He has beef with God, but he cannot stand against him. So he comes against us, okay? He comes against humankind, God's loved ones. He's trying to hurt my father through me. But I got a way to fix it. I can just back up. Okay? Because God is my fortress. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, fortress. What does that mean? So, you know, I looked up definitions, and I kept coming across all this military stuff. All this protection stuff. Right? A fortress, according to man, is a place in the midst of buildings and walls and such that's fortified. I don't think man could figure out the definition because God's adversary has been blocking them from it. Okay? Fortress, I tell you, was a spiritual place. It's a spiritual word. Man can't seem to approach fortress and understand what it is. A safe place. A safe place. I suggest fortress is a spiritual word. God equals fortress.
All right. All right.
He is a place of safety when all else is insecure.
Yeah.
I don't like referring to other scriptures as we're going, and you don't have to turn there because it's the same words. The 46th Psalm, David says, he refers to God as his fortress, his help in times of need and tribulation.
Yeah.
My God, in him will I trust. Should you have an adversary, your fortress is God.
Yeah.
Man can't build a fortress. He can't build enough walls. He can't build enough buildings. He cannot. Man can't do it. Man did it, and now they've created technology that can find you wherever are. Okay? Behind a mighty fortress, deep underground, it doesn't matter. Man can find you. But if you just back up into your fortress, if you stop looking to man for protection and you say, I know where my protection is. I know where I can go for a safe place. And I realize that if I just back up into God, he covers me. Let's move on to number two. He shall, what does it say? He shall deliver thee. Just put you or I where it says thee. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. It says surely. Without a doubt, y'all. Surely. And so Moses has just said, I will say of the Lord. Right? And then he speaks to you. But for you, I am absolutely positive. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. There is a word of God. My baby just cried. There is a word of God about the obstacles you face. There are words of assurance and comfort for us. Here the word says, surely. He shall. Those are not questions or maybes. It does not say when trouble comes or when you are under attack or if and when you have a problem. The dragon, that old serpent, the devil, Satan, he's real. And he's busy seeking every opportunity to devour us. And I suggest right now, he's in the process of attacking your life. Your peace of mind, your body, your relationships, your job, any place he can find a weakness. That's why you can't have strife in your family. That's why you can't have strife amongst your friends. That's why you can't have strife on the pulpit. That's why you can't have strife in the choir. That's why you can't have strife in the deacon's board. You can't have strife. You can't have a moment of softness because the Satan... That old dragon, the devil, and Satan, he's coming after you. He's looking for a place to just wiggle in. He's busy. He doesn't want to take a bite out of you. He wants to just devour you whole. I take the word at face value. It says shall. It's happening. It will happen. Not maybe. You need this word. You need God's continual deliverance. If you allowed yourself for any moment to think or believe you are immune to the attacks of Satan and beyond his reach, let me remind you of Job. Those whom God favors, those believers, the faithful, who from the outside it looks all rosy and pretty. There's no problems. Those are the ones Satan is asking and pleading. Just let me touch him. If you just take away those nice and pretty things, that's why they're faithful, right? Satan is asking. It's you he's after. He's searching for a place to wiggle in and create adversity, chaos, confusion, destruction. So it says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. You have to realize you are in the snare of the fowler. You're not immune. Okay? I trust the word of God. It says surely. It didn't say when. Right? It didn't say if you ever have this problem, what you can do is. That's not what it says. It says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. So moment by moment, it's more than one. I can tell you 3-4 different places he's trying to fight me right now. Trying to fight me, because where am I? Okay? So let's just break it all the way so we understand. What is a snare? You know, it's not a difficult word, but just going through it, it just revealed it all to me. A snare is a trap, a thing likely to lure or tempt someone into harm or error. A snare is set up to catch or trap someone. What does it mean to snare someone? To entice them, to lure them, to tempt them, provoke them to do something, often with false or exaggerated promises or persuasion. And let's just be honest. We're not talking about people out doing lewd and lascivious things. We're not talking about vices. We're talking about everyday life, right? It used to be when you left church, gospel was on when you woke up in the morning on Sunday. It was on all the way to 11 when you got here. If I left my radio on Z93, that was our station at home, right? And I hallelujah all the way to church. When I turned that car back on, at 12:30, 1 o'clock, 2:45 sometimes, beep the bop, hibbity hop, all the stuff, you know, you get thrown right off track. Completely, little tiny things. You are not looking out for big things. It's just the little things, right? That just have you take one little step the wrong direction, right? Then another step the wrong direction. You know, and you just keep going these little tiny steps. Why? Because you're trying to use your mind. You're trying to use your reasonableness. You're seeking out, how can I fix this, right? How, well, what do I need? Well, let me call so-and-so. Well, let me Google what the answer is, right? And you look back, and you got a 3,000 miles to back up, right, to your fortress. It's not if and when. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, what is a fowler? Plain and simple, a hunter. Yeah. Right. The fowler is talking about those who hunt birds, but when you look at the definition of fowler in Hebrew, it means a hunter. Yeah. Plain and simple. And I've already told you who the adversary of God is. Yeah. He's not walking to and fro to get steps. He's not going up and down for miles, you know, to fly on United. He is seeking any and every opportunity to devour you. And if you're far enough away from your fortress, he's going to take more and more away. So that noisome pestilence, just quick, fast, in a hurry. Noisome is just something that's stinky. It's disgusting. You know, you smell things sometimes before it shows up. I left some broccoli water on the stove once. I thought the pan was clean. I thought the pot was clean. Had cooked broccoli, and it looked, I would not leave a dirty pot on the stove, so I just assumed, oh, I already washed that, and it's clean. One day later, something stinky. 2 days later, because back then I didn't cook every day. 2 days later, what is that smell? You know? Third day, I'll come home from work, and I mean, it's not in the kitchen. It's met me at the door. As soon as I open it, and I'm looking, what's in the trash? I've taken all the trash out. What is wrong? I get in the kitchen, go, and I open the pot. It's just broccoli water. It's like this much of it. It was a pestilence. Disgusting. Putrid. Just terrible. But God is telling us about the nature of Satan. And pestilence, the comparison was the bubonic plague, but surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from all of the dirty, disgusting, nasty, lewd, and lascivious vices that Satan puts before you. Surely he shall deliver you. Not a question. We've been talking about what God's doing, but I'm sure you're asking, well, how do I get that? Let's go back to verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth, not shows up sometimes, not comes to visit, not backs up when he needs help, okay? But dwells. I read this scripture over and over again for long periods of time before my heart said, What is a dwelling? You know, so I'm seeking out all the protection, right? I'm knowing God got me, right? But why do I still have these knockout, drag out battles? Why do I keep coming back with bruises and scuffs and problems because I'm trying to fight before I realize God can do it. Oh, because my part is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under his shadow. Y'all, gets hot here. It gets hot here. It gets hot in South Carolina and Charleston, where I'm from. It's tropical. You leave here, you leave Charleston and hop to the Bahamas, no change in temperature, no change in humidity. It's ridiculous. You look outside and you start sweating, right? So we moved here and I said, they talk about Houston heat. It really can't, you know? So what? The first May. At home in May, it's like 90 degrees. You're like, why? Why? You can't walk to school. You got to take an extra shirt, right? Because by the time you get there, your clothes are done. 90 degrees in Charleston. So May came, June came. We were like, it's just hot. This is normal. July came. About the 15th of July came. And we were just trying to walk in the mall from the car. And I don't know if y'all have been to Willowbrook Mall, but there are no trees in the parking lot. There are no tall buildings surrounding Willowbrook Mall. Once you park, it's like fighting through hell. It's, you feel like you could just push the air aside, and the sun is just beating down and reflecting off of the cement. Do y'all know what shade does? It could be 7,000 degrees outside, and a little touch of shade will make you think you found an oasis. Oh, thank God for this shade. So, if I do the work, and I know where I'm supposed to be living, dwelling, staying, resting, playing, having a good time, doing all the things that I do, if I dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, I get to abide, just be under his shadow. It ain't not one of us that's perfect that can just stay all the time. You'll find yourself out there baking in the sun and say, Lord, how did I get here? And I'm going to turn to see how far away did I get this time. And then I'm going to back up, right? It's a continual process. But let's talk about the reward. And that's where we're going to verses 14, 15, and 16. And we're still in the 91st Psalm. And this is what I just love about this, is that Moses is out there preaching, right? And then all of a sudden, in verse 14, the voice changes. And the word says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's God talking. Moses has run it all the way down, right? And if you can get through the 91st Psalm without stopping to shout, God bless you, right? But then God just starts saying, and I don't know if it's in a big voice or a quiet voice, but it says, because he hath loved me. Now, I want you to hear those words, because Moses started with, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. And then he just starts talking to the people, right? And telling them what God can do. But then God comes and says, let me show you how real I am. Because Moses had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Where is your love? Where are you spending all of that value that God created within you? Yeah. How are you using yourself? Yeah. Where are you depositing your love? I love my husband. Yeah. I do. I love my daddy. Yeah. Probably more than anybody else on the earth. I love my mama. I love Myrtle Glasgow. I miss her every day. But where can I deposit my love? With the Father. Because he promises, if I set my love upon him, if I just pour myself out upon him, if I use all my gifts for him, right? Any good thing I find, if I just pour it out and set it upon God, he promises that he will deliver me. He won't just deliver me, he'll set me on high because I know his name. I can't tell you his name. You have to find out for yourself. And I know where you can find it, in the secret place where the Most High dwells. Okay? That's where you can find him. I can't tell you the name God has for you for himself. God showed us back with Isaac. I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to tell you what to call me. I'm going to make promises for you, not just for yourself, but for generations after you. I can't tell you what to call God, but what I can tell you, if you get yourself dwelling within the secret place of the Most High, he will help you know how to reach him, help you know how to speak to him. If you think you have it figured out, you don't. If you think you're safe from Satan, you're not. You're not. You're not. If you think you're immune, oh, I've been saved for 27 years. The Lord is just dealing mightily with me. I have no worries. I don't listen to secular music. My knees are always covered. You know, I'm always doing what I should do. You're a liar. And God does not know you because you don't know him. Let's go back to our focus scripture, what we have learned. We are where we live right now, this temporary world is not a safe place. We need refuge. We need a fortress. And he shall deliver me. There will be snares. There will be noisomeness. There will be pestilences in our lives, but God. We're almost done. We're wrapping up. Let's talk about who God is. And we're on the third point. Let me remind you of the nature of God, our Father, the Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and their buckler. I promise you I could have sat down 45 seconds ago. But you need the tools. I've talked about where you're supposed to stay, right? I've talked about what he'll do for you. He'll cover you. I've talked about the reward on the other side, right? While we have to be on this earth. But I can't leave you without the tools. We already had a good time. I could have sat down. But I have to give you the tools. He said, he shall cover you with his feathers. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. God's actions versus our actions. The 91st Psalm is like an instruction manual. But we have to be sure we stay in our lane. The 91st Psalm kind of just lays it out for us. So, seek refuge. Allow him to be our fortress. And here in verse 4, we receive the shield and the buckler. What is a shield? What is a buckler? The shield is the big one, right? It's broad. It will cover you up, right? And protect you. The buckler, I had to look it up. I had to look at pictures. It's an arm. It's a mini shield. It fits on your arm. You can just walk around with it at any time. And danger comes, you can go, you can cover your face, you can get down low. You know, you just walk around with it all the time. And you know, we get get excited. At least I do. Ooh, what's my part? What's my part? Ooh, I get a shield and I get a buckler. And I was busy getting the definition of shield, the definition of buckler, but that was a waste of my time because you got to keep reading the verse. It said the shield and the buckler. It's his truth. So my shield and my buckler are simply the word of God. You know, it's simply my trust. I can trust in the safe place under his wings, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I can exercise my shield and my buckler. So I'm here to tell you, if you're not in the fortress, your shield and your buckler ain't as effective or strong out here. Okay? So you can be throwing that buckler up. Ah, I see you. You can be covering up with the shield. It might help, but you're still getting touched. Okay? You got to understand what dwell means. Our personal armor is God's truth, the word of God. But let's look at God's part here. He shall cover you with his feathers. To cover means to put something on top of or in front of something, especially in order to protect or conceal it.
Right.
To extend over an area. And looking at God's word, I said feathers. Cover you with his feathers under his wings. The mother eagle, she covers her hatchlings, her chicks. The female eagle has a wingspan minimally of 5.5 feet to 8 feet. I'm 5'4".
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm 5'4".
Yeah.
So the illustration used says, it doesn't matter what you have going on. It doesn't matter how big it is, right? It doesn't matter the expanse or the territory that I've given you dominion of. I can cover it. Okay? I can cover it. If a female eagle, when she extends her wings, exceeds my height, there's not a man 8 foot tall in here. Close, but not 8 foot tall. He covers us if we choose him as our dwelling place, if we choose to abide in him. Only there, in the position of safety, can we use those tools, his truth, the shield and the buckler, effectively. This is a word of comfort, a word of encouragement for the people of God. For us, Christ Church, will you take up his truth? Your shield and your buckler? Will you take up residence in the secret place of the Most High? Will you learn to abide under the shadow of the Almighty? He's promised for those of us who set our love upon him. He's promised to deliver us, to set us on high. He's promised to answer when we call. If you can't hear him, if he didn't answer, look around. Where are you? And look back. How far away from home am I? And get going. He promised to answer when we call, to be with us in a time of trouble. He promised and he keeps his word. He came to this world as Emmanuel, God with us. He came and he lived the Son of Man. He shed his blood to offer us his salvation. Come and abide with him. Come and learn to love him. If not for sin, you might already know. But you've got to learn. It's like getting in the gym and taking protein and doing all those other crazy things people do to build muscle. Your spirituality is like a muscle. You can't just show up on Sunday and ask for a covering. You can't just break your Bible open and say, God, work it out.
Yeah.
The 91st Psalm is like an instruction book.
Yeah.
You can tell people who he is, but he's promised if you just take refuge, if you just back up, back up into God, come and abide in him. Come and learn to love him. Stop fighting the battles of this world. Take refuge in God. I just want to encourage you. Surely, surely he shall deliver you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."